Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Great to be with you today. It's back to school day. I feel like a new woman. That's not true. I feel like a broken mom. I don't handle back to school well.
I was going to say, are you sad or
yes!
are you happy?
Yes. I said to my daughter, so we have a blessing of the backpacks at the Lutheran school that we go to. That was last night. And I said to them when we were walking out of the school last night, I said, and just like this, school's going to be over. And that is seriously the way it goes. And I don't handle it well. It makes me sad. It makes me really sad. Like, you want to talk about, you know, time, slow down. I put this on the Facebook page. I took a picture of the kids last night and put it on our Facebook page, which we're like 20 people away from 8,000 likes.
Come on.
Do I have 20 friends out there? Do you have 20 friends out there? To the Facebook page at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. I put a picture up of the kids there last night, and I asked, does this make you happy or sad? And I got a mixed reaction. Some people are like, yeah, get the kids out of the house. I'm pretty sure you probably are in the house when the kids are gone. I don't have that luxury of being able to kind of get the house to myself now or do things that I want to get done, as opposed to having the kids home all the time. But it's rough. I am not happy about it. Did you drop your kids off today, Tony?
Maggie, yeah.
Does it bother? Does it stir emotions in you, or are you like, all right, get out of the car?
Neither one.
I am indifferent.
Yeah, it's just
I am a robot.
back to that schedule.
Yeah,
it's just a different schedule.
My mom was always like, get out.
Did she stay at home?
She worked part time up until I was in kindergarten.
Did you going to school mean she had some time to herself?
Correct.
There's the culprit.
She's like, get out, Katie.
Well, I'm going to tell you about my morning, because it was quite a morning. And I've, as you may or may not be able to hear, still suffering my vacation hangover summer cold and plowing through that. Kids were coughing this morning on the way to the first day of school. And I'm like, get out, get in the car. We're doing this thing. Nothing's stopping it. I'm going to tell you, because we had quite a morning. But before I do, Hong Kong is getting kind of rowdy. I think right now it's maybe like almost quarter after one in the morning in Hong Kong. Tony, what can you tell us? Because it's starting to get a little more violent and the police are involved.
Yeah, for the second day in a row, they've had to close the airport there in Hong Kong. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. These protests all stemming from the citizens of Hong Kong being upset with the Chinese government, and they're trying to, the people of Hong Kong believe that the Chinese government is trying to take more and more control over their government, which is supposed to be, they are part of China, but they have a completely separate government. It's one country, two systems is what they call it. And the people in Hong Kong believe that China has been slowly trying to take away a lot of the freedoms that they have there. And these protests sparked up some days back and have continued to ramp up. And today was a bad day protests continuing there at the Hong Kong airport. We've seen pictures of police officers with pepper spray and batons confronting these protesters who are barricading themselves with luggage carts and in terminals of the airport there. So, yeah, it's not a good scene what's happening in Hong Kong. So we've unfortunately seen these protests get out of hand in many places around the around our country and around the world, and they're dealing with some nasty stuff.
So we're going to continue right to now. Watch that. This is an interesting tidbit from what has taken place so far in Hong Kong. This is not a scene from a fencing championship. This is not a scene from a football game. This is actually in Hong Kong.
And rise us through the perilous fight. All the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
So they're out there and they're advocating for democracy. And they're singing our national anthem. That's kind of crazy.
Waving our flags while people here in America burn them.
Do we take this great thing for granted? Like every minute of every day? The freedoms that we have, the freedom to dissent. I mean, I saw some tweets that are showing what's going on in Hong Kong and basically saying this is why we have the Second Amendment, because you have the government structure pushing up against the people who are fighting for something they believe in, their autonomy, their democracy of sorts. So we're going to watch this and see how it continues to unfold throughout the day. It's being covered on all the major networks, and if it surges or changes at all, we will definitely bring that to you. So meanwhile, back on the home front, this morning, this year I am in charge of transportation of children to and from school. This is a lot of responsibility for one woman. All three kids, yes. All going to the same school, finally. And I wake up my youngest, and she's like, "Daddy!" And I'm like, no, honey, daddy's not here, but I'm going to take care of you. You know, trying to like lay it on thick to begin with. Finally, I've gotten everything in order, and I have my son. So this is how we do clothes, because this is the only way to do it. I do a load of laundry of the kids' clothes, or my husband does the laundry, and we take out the laundry when it gets dry, and we pair up outfits, shirt, shorts, underwear, and socks. My 9-year-old can, it's mostly shirt and shorts. And then I have a shoe organizer that I hang in each one of their closets. It's a 10 shoe organizer, and I slip outfits in those 10 slots so that they can choose from those 10 outfits. I don't care what they wear out of those, but here are your selections. Pick an outfit and let's rock and roll, instead of, I don't want to wear this and I want to wear that. And, you know, it's like, here's what you got, child, wear something. Mm-hmm. And they like it because they get to choose still. So all of that was set aside last night, and Evelyn is going to 3-year-old preschool, and you got to be potty trained to go to preschool. And we did it. We went through Disney and did a great job with her. She wore pull-ups at Disney, but she did a great job. And this morning, this is a mom fail more than anything, but I did not, when I took her out of bed, since she wears a diaper to bed still, I did not tell her to take a potty break when she got up. I get her all dressed. I'm getting dressed in my bathroom, and she's in the bathroom with me. And she's standing like back in the closet, and she's like, "I think I just peed." And I'm like, "No, you're in the bathroom." Like, there's what? So I melt down in a way that you melt down as a mom, and you're shaming yourself the entire time you're doing it, but you just can't believe. But she like, I had to go buy her tennis shoes at Walmart today. This morning. No. I'm like, kids, get in the car. We're getting donuts for breakfast and shoes for Evelyn.
Rally the troops.
Yeah. So that's how my morning started. And I'm like, is this an exception, or is this how every day for the next 180 days or however many days this is going to be? I don't know.
That sounds like a crazy morning.
I don't know.
I couldn't do it.
And then now my son is coughing. And the storms hit again last night. So I had people in my bed last night, as predicted. Man, it was just ridiculous. Tony, did you have visitors again last night?
Oh yeah, yep. They're going to be going to bed early tonight for sure, because they were up all night last night.
Yeah,
before having to go to school today.
As a parent, when you start like making bad decisions in your head and you're like, maybe some Benadryl is in order tonight. They do have a cold and a cough. Maybe that would help them.
I can't believe you have time to go to the store before taking your kids to school. If we get, if 1 minute it gets delayed unexpectedly somewhere, we're, yeah.
What time is, what time do you have to be at school? What's the bell ring?
They start school at 8:50. Maggie does.
Oh.
Yeah. So we try to get there by 8:40.
I think ours is 8:25.
They open the doors at 8:40, so.
If it's not 8:25, it's 8:30, and I've told myself 8:25 just to lie to myself enough to believe that it's.
Yes.
But no, I'm with the three of them, we were up and getting ready at 7 o'clock, and here's the structure. This is mommy boot camp in the morning. They all got to get up, but if you get them up at 7, they got time to kind of do it on their own speed, and I don't care how quickly they want to do it, whatever. My son's job is to get himself dressed and to go downstairs and make himself breakfast and the 3-year-old breakfast. So he's 9. So he's cooking in the kitchen.
He's doing it, yeah.
My daughter's job is to get herself dressed and then to help get my youngest daughter dressed. So that way, everything is being taken care of. They're doing it on their own. But at the same time, I'm able to help whoever, wherever, mm-hmm. without nothing getting done unless I do it. Because that's just not going to fly. I cannot, like, be physically putting clothes on 3 kids every morning. Like, you can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of got through it. Then we had to go buy new shoes. So I bought an extra bag of socks and an extra bag of underwear. And threw it on the bag and gave it to the teacher, and God bless her.
Is it exciting when they come home and they tell you about the first day? Like, are they excited or are they more like, meh?
If they're excited, it's exciting. If they are screaming at each other because they didn't sleep at all last night and they're congested and they're crabby, then
not so fun.
I'm a big believer, and I've heard this from teachers or and people who are close to me who have taught previously that wind down time when you get home. Not to hit them with 100 questions, not to necessarily push them immediately into doing homework and all that. Just like it's good to give them about 30 minutes to do what they want to do and then revisit. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably is more so kid by kid, but they definitely can benefit from the not immediate onslaught of how was your day? Who did you sit by at lunch? What did you play at recess? What did your teacher think about your cool new pencil box? You know, all of these mm-hmm. things, is the kids are like, shut up, Mom.
No.
Or at least they're getting to that age.
Get me a snack.
So, yeah, school starts today for us. My husband is back at school. So I am back to not being the only person contributing to society right now. All the teachers out there, well, they can't hear me now because they're all in school. Man, that time when summer starts to creep up and the school year starts to go down and teachers are posted on Facebook, they're like, 5 days left. And I'm like, I have like 5 million days left. Like, it's not even countable at this point in time. I'm jealous. I'm not mad. I'm not mm-hmm. I'm not upset about admitting it, but my husband's one of them. All right, when we come back, we're going to get to the highlights of the day, get to all the top headlines. We're going to speak with Justin Hill. He's the Missouri State Rep in the 108th District. He has been at the border with the Texas National Guard, and he's been on a mission to do a border assessment of what is actually taking place there on the southern border. And he has got some stories that are hot on social media, and he is going to share them with us at 1240. What's going on there? Justin Hill is going to tell us at 1240. But when we return, we're going to get to all the latest news stories of the day with highlights. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If only I had an Italian named Anthony Colombo to talk Chris Cuomo with.
Oh, Chris Cuomo.
Did you hear this? Did you see this?
Oh, I saw it.
Can I play this? I assume that you gave me the sound and it's playable. Mm-hmm.
I thought that's who you were.
No, punk ass from the right called me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Oh,
you're much
Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
and
brother?
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian? insult to your people. It's an insult to your people. It's like the N-word for us. Wow. Is that a cool thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television. Yeah.
The butt puckering there is a little too much for me. I don't know that I have a drop of Italian blood in my body, so I'm going to defer to you, Tony. Reaction?
Chris Cuomo, the punk.
Careful what you call him. He's a sensitive dude.
So is the dude antagonizing him. This was two morons trying to have a
contest. Wrong to have higher expectations for Chris Cuomo since he's the one who has something to lose in this conversation?
No. There's both people need to not be bags.
Bags.
Yeah. I know a couple of Italian words that are like using the N-word for Italians. Fredo was never one that was taught to me by my family. Fredo is...
If someone calls you that, are you offended?
Fredo is a character. Mm-hmm. He's the weak brother in the Godfather, and you could call any weak sibling Fredo. I guess he's saying because
he took it
the characters
pretty personally.
In the Godfather are Italian, that it's just for Italians.
Is it the N word?
Maybe I missed
for
that
Italians.
Day. Maybe I missed that day in Italian school. No, I can give you a couple other words that are like that.
I want you to do that.
Yeah.
Is that Italian
I can give you a couple
school?
Other words that are that, but Fredo, I didn't know was on the list. Now maybe there's some Italians out there listening right now saying, "Oh no, you don't understand. It is that I don't know. I've never heard that one. And even if he did, I mean,
how Italian are you?
I mean, my name is Anthony Colombo.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Chris Cuomo took it too far, but the guy came up to him trying to start stuff.
Of course.
Like, this is what we're trying to avoid, people.
But this happens all the time. I remember Brian Kilmeade getting people aggress him on the subway, and he said in the wake of that, like, this happens from time to time. Mm. You can't get yourself.
That what you played is just a fraction of that. The video that is available.
Yeah, he's very threatening in return to that guy.
Yeah, he's...
I'm going to throw you down the bleeping
stairs. I'm going to ruin your blank. I'm going to... Like, he's just really
on top of that,
off.
To suggest that word is like a word that I have never used in my lifetime and will never use in my lifetime towards African-American individuals, you would think that when that word was used on his own show... On air, on CNN, that he would have a problem with it. But this is Anna Navarro on CNN in a split screen with three people up there. Anna Navarro on the left, Cuomo in the middle, and some other dude on the right. And she uses this word. He doesn't even blink. He's stone-faced the whole time.
Daddy kept Fredo back home. So who cares what Donald Trump Jr. says? Who cares what Donald Trump Jr. says?
Because she was talking... About Don Jr.?
Yeah.
She calls Don Jr. this word, and it doesn't even faze
It's not a bad
Chris
word.
Cuomo.
It's Fredo. He's a character in The Godfather. It's just like saying Katie or Annie or Tony. It's a person's name. It's a nickname. It's his nickname. It can be used as a way to highlight the weaker person in your family, the weaker sibling. It's an insult because of the movie, because the guy's name is Fredo and he's the weaker brother in The Godfather. It's an insult that you can use when you're talking about family members if you want to try to paint one of them to be weaker or less than the rest in the family.
I would say Chris Cuomo may have an inferiority complex.
I understand the connection to Italians because The Godfather is a movie about Italians. But there's other racist words. No, there's other words that are.
Can I also point out that Chris Cuomo is the king of saying that Donald Trump's rhetoric is awful and horrendous and nobody should be saying things like Donald Trump says it. And then this video comes out of Chris Cuomo saying this.
The version of stuff that we cannot play for you here because of.
I mean,
government regulations.
He can't even say three words without cussing in that whole video. And yeah, he's puffing out his chest and he's Mr. Tough Guy.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how he says, "I am
not going to throw
Chris Cuomo, and then he redefines it as I'm an anchor on CNN. It's like Chris Cuomo should be enough to illustrate who you are, but he, you know, he gets under
his skin. Anytime you're doing that, anytime you're giving your resume during a altercation.
Do you know who I am? No.
I'm Tony Colombo. I do news on 97.1. Whoa, look out. Hey, tough guy.
Yeah. It's
yikes.
As if the insinuation that he was the inferior brother was proven by how ridiculous Chris reacted. I will say that this is why, if you're in the public eye, you don't get to have any of those moments. You don't get to make a mistake where if he gets picked off by 10 people that day, and this is the only one that he didn't either walk away from or brush off or make good, it's going to be out there and you're going to be held accountable for it. You just have to, the expectation that you have to have is significantly higher.
It doesn't mean you have to, it doesn't mean that you have to just sit there and not defend yourself, but you got to, that behavior,
I'm going to throw you down the stairs.
Reaction
and
tough guy-ness is just
tough guy.
Unattractive.
Mm. Now, let's get to the highlights.
I have to click on a different story to read the highlights because I had that story up.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Do it again. Brand new.
Check this out. This is interesting. Senate Democrats have warned the Supreme Court to heal or face restructuring. In an ominous and unusual warning delivered to the Supreme Court this week, a brief was filed by some Senate Democrats. It was included with a case that was involving New York City gun laws. However, the brief, the statement doesn't really have anything to do with this. So this was Senators Sheldon Whitehouse from Rhode Island, Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, Mazie Hirono from Hawaii, Kristen Gillibrand from New York, and ya boy, Dick Durbin from Illinois.
I have so many boys. Mm-hmm. Forget, never know which way it's going to go.
Right? The brief read in part this: the Supreme Court is not well, and the people know it. Perhaps the court can heal itself before the public demands it be restructured in order to reduce the influence of politics. Basically, these Democrats are saying, hey, look, you need to start deciding cases our way, or we're going to restructure the court because we don't like what you're doing. And then they say that they're doing it to reduce the influence of politics, not politicians changing the court exactly because of politics. Interesting.
Are they going to nominate their own judges?
I guess they're going to put 15 people on the court like Mayor Pete wants to.
Interesting. Fox News reporting that former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich's commutation is apparently on hold. They say he got through quite a bit of processing last week at the federal prison he's housed in Colorado before the White House delayed the process. Now, two sources told Fox News that on Thursday, the 62-year-old Blagojevich made it to the final step of being released, known as reception and discharge, before the process was stopped. The White House is apparently afraid of public reception of the release, and the Illinois GOP is urging Trump to rethink the commutation.
Wait, there's an Illinois GOP?
A social media campaign aimed at promoting support for Bernie Sanders. It attracted an awkward mix of diehard Bernie backers and Democrats still angry over his 2016 run. The campaign-backed hashtag MyBernieStory was meant to be a forum for supporters to share their personal stories of why they support Bernie Sanders. While plenty of the supporters have done exactly that, the hashtag has also been hijacked by critics who blame Sanders for Hillary Clinton's loss to President Trump. These are so funny, and they're awful. One of them is, my Bernie Sanders story is watching Barack Obama hand the keys to the Oval Office to a racist because Bernie didn't know when to sit his A down in the primary.
I'm pretty sure Bernie could go back to the DNC and be like, you guys want to take this one or should I?
The Cardinals head across the state tonight for an interleague series with the Royals in Kansas City. The Birds are 500, good for second place in the National League Central, as well as the second NL wildcard slot. Busy day in the Cardinals front office. They activated Yadier Molina from the injured list. They promoted prospect Randy Arozarena and fired assistant hitting coach Mark Budaska.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak with the Missouri State Representative from the 108th District. His name is Justin Hill, and he has been at the border with the Texas National Guard, and he is on a mission to do a border assessment to find out what's really down there, not through anybody's version of any report anywhere. He wants to see with his own eyes, and he's reporting back to us in just a minute. So when we return, Missouri State Rep Justin Hill will be with us in about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think the public sentiment on that subject was very strong, and that the American people overwhelmingly said this isn't who we are as a nation. That doesn't mean that the policy of this administration will be to stop that. And so that's why we're here, to see how their policy is being implemented. But we are a better country than that.
Nancy Pelosi reacting to ICE raids on the people who are here in this country. And very often she speaks for the people of the country. She talks about, she's the Speaker of the House, after all, but she's talking about what the American people expect and what they don't expect and what disappoints them. And it seems to be a very far, far reach from what is actually taking place on the southern border. Because when we hear from the people who are there, when you hear from the people who are working Border Patrol or ICE or Homeland Security, you just get a different picture about what is taking place on the southern border. We're going to speak now to the Missouri State Representative from the 108th District, Justin Hill, who has found himself there at the border to do a border assessment. And it's great to be able to speak with him now. Justin, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Good afternoon, Annie.
So you've been down at the southern border, and what have you seen?
Well, it's not as they say, honestly. I mean, I was shocked because I was just shocked at the amount of effort there is to keep this country safe. I was shocked at the quality of personnel that we have there. I was shocked at how well, captured immigrants are treated. I was shocked how clean facilities were. So it's just, you know, we've heard so much, and I think because it's been largely politicized, to get down there in person, the first thing you do is start shaking your head.
Absolutely. Here's a quote from Ocasio-Cortez. She famously referred to the detention centers as concentration camps.
You got a lot of grief for using the word concentration camps. Mm-hmm. Do you regret that? Or do you think people misinterpret it?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few things at play. One, I don't regret it at all.
So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez floats out that concentration camp moniker, suggesting that that's how we are detaining people who are coming across our southern border. And you're saying that's not the case?
It's not. In fact, the it's not a detention center. It's a processing center because I visited the same location she did and Speaker Pelosi. And the center is specifically for either immigrants with children or children that are alone. And they are absolutely, they are so happy that they're there. It's 105 degrees down here. You know, they've walked a long way. They're dirty. They're hungry. They're thirsty. And the first thing we do is we get them cleaned up. We're giving them food. We're giving them, water and juice to rehydrate. We're letting them use the telephone. We're processing them so we can figure out really what they're trying to do is determine who has true children of theirs with them and who is just using children to cross the border. And that is actually a reality because cartels are setting up children with adults who these children have no idea who these adults are just to get them over the border and overwhelm Border Patrol.
Yeah, that's wild and awfully scary. We're speaking with Missouri State Representative Justin Hill, who's been at the southern border. Would you say that what you're viewing with your own eyes right now is actually a crisis?
It is a crisis, but it's the, you know, I think we're fighting it the wrong way, because we've really incentivized cartels to get involved in the immigration business, for lack of a better term. You know, we got briefed by Border Patrol, Texas DPS, ICE was there, and they know, the cartels know how to defeat us at this game, and that is overwhelm law enforcement with people that do want help. And, you know, we're here to help them, but they want to overwhelm our law enforcement so they can have free reign of our border, whether it's bringing drugs or guns across. So I got to see it firsthand. I got to see it from the air. They put me up in a helicopter. I got to, you know, fly over the Rio Grande River. I got to see on both sides of the river, you know, how we're dealing with it, how the cartels are controlling their side of the border. I got on a gunship and went up and down the Rio Grande and saw it from that aspect as well. And it's, you know, we have a lot of challenges. But one thing that I did learn from law enforcement and Border Patrol down here, that walls are effective. And the first thing they said was it creates choke points, so we can deploy our assets more efficiently. And they're tremendously successful.
Yeah, I think it's important to know what you're seeing down there with your own eyes, because just yesterday we had a caller who said that she hears from one of her friends who happens to be on the far left side of the aisle, saying that it's people who are coming here that need help and that we have the ability to help them. And then the other side is saying it's rapists and murderers. Clearly, it's not either all one or the other. But what are you seeing with the kind of individuals who are coming across, and what do you see as America's obligation when they come here? How do we best serve them?
Well, we don't, you know, if people truly need help, we don't want to turn them away. We want to get them help. We want to do it through legal means. I did learn that about 5 to 7% of the crossers have come across before. I also learned that it's very expensive for Americans to do this. Texas alone had to increase funding for law enforcement by $500 million a year. So fortunately, you know, this the Trump administration, you know, allowed the Guard to be activated. They're getting support from 13 other states. Missouri is not one of them. So it's a huge collaborative effort to try to control the flow over the border. I mean, right now it's 105 degrees. And they're still arresting about 800 to 1,000 a day just in this sector.
Wow.
So it's about Laredo down to McAllen. So, I mean, and they said it's slow. And they need this lull because it's going to get very busy in October when the weather breaks.
So are these people who are traveling to our southern border, do you get the vibe from anybody that they are being incentivized to come here or encouraged to come here by an organized movement? Or is it just the words out that you can come to the southern border right now and you can make an attempt to get in?
It's both. They know that if they have a child with them, they are not going to be sent back. So that incentivizes. And as soon as they hear that, the cartels know that. People are reporting back to them. So the cartels know that, okay, we have to get this amount, this much product across the border. So if we have, you know, 300 people with children, it's because it bogs you down. Being in law enforcement out in St. Charles County previously, anytime you have to make an arrest where a child's involved, it takes an officer off the road for hours.
Yeah.
Just because of the legalities of it, right? Well, exponentially grow that and put it on the border, and with all this being politicized, they are crossing every T and dotting every I.
Yeah,
and it's taking forever.
I think that being in politics yourself as a state rep here in Missouri, you understand that the give and take of the political game, that you got to give a little to get a little in most cases. But I see what's taking place in Washington, D.C. with Donald Trump and with Nancy Pelosi in the House. And I don't see the even potential that there could be an agreement on something that could solve this problem. Is there any window or glimmer of hope that you can identify something that could be done at the federal level that would help expedite this process and
well,
care for these people at the same time?
Yeah, the American people need to pressure politicians to, you know, call it what it is. And this is a war against cartels where people are victimized. If the left keeps keeps the talking points as a war against our president, we will get nowhere. The left needs to understand that this is not against our president. This is against drug cartels that are controlling the other side of the border and feeding drugs and guns into our country at the expense of immigrant, poor, needy children.
I couldn't agree with you more. Missouri State Rep. Justin Hill of the 108th District, we're very grateful for you to come on here. We look forward to following more about your journey on your social media outlets, and I encourage people to check out your website at hillformissouri.com, where people can connect with you there. Great to speak with you. Thank you for giving us some of your time.
Thanks, Annie.
Yep, absolutely. Also on Twitter, at hillformissouri. It's funny to me to talk to somebody like that who's there, and to hear him talking about what he's seeing, and there's no shouting. There's no, like, feverish plea for you to get on his side and support his side. He's like, listen, this is the way it is, and we need to do something about it. I think most of America is like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people are looking at the southern border going, yeah, this isn't good. We should do something about this. I'm not really for rounding people up in the middle of the night, but I would say we definitely need to make sure that we have a southern border that is a border that is there for a purpose, to serve a purpose, to make sure that we know who's coming and going. I think a lot of people can agree upon that, but the politicization of it just makes it insufferable.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely something that people end up turning their head away from when the political conversation comes up. Do people? I know you have some active political friends that are your age. Is immigration one of their concerns, or is it not?
I think it's one of their concerns, but it's because
she's using air quotes.
Yes, because it aligns with their idea of Trump being a racist. I don't know if they know in detail what's actually happening in the border, but because AOC is speaking up so much about it, and because it can align with their idea of Trump being a racist, that they become an activist for immigrants.
Do your hyper-progressive friends like Ocasio-Cortez a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yep, they love her.
How do you know? What do they do?
Anytime I say, what do you think about Ocasio-Cortez? They're like, she's great. She's speaking for our generation. She's going up against these people that, really, they're like, they think that she's going up against the swamp, basically. I'm like, whoa.
It's kind of evidentiary towards how we've compared her to Donald Trump. Not obviously in policy or purpose, but in method.
Mm-hmm. And gusto.
Yeah.
They like the way she comes at situations. That's what's appealing about her to my progressive friends.
Yeah. Well, somebody else who's out there who is young and moving and shaking is Scott Pressler. We talked to Scott Pressler the week before I went on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Pressler's in his early 20s, I believe, and he is very motivated to get Donald Trump reelected. He goes across the country and registers new Republicans. And he also took up the mantle when President Trump called out Baltimore and suggested that Baltimore being run by Democrats, if you want to take a peek at what that looks like, go to Baltimore and you'll see it. I believe the term rat infested was used.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Pressler gets together a group of people and they went and cleaned up Baltimore. Like, or they went and made an effort to clean up parts of it, and they're going to go back and do it again, which is fantastic. Nearly 300 volunteers removed a toilet, chairs, tables, and spare tires, among other things, from piles of trash. In a West Baltimore alley, volunteers completely cleared out what was an impassable alley, making a real difference and a real dent in the condition of the neighborhood. So this
That's
is
amazing.
A group of Trump supporters organized by a Trump activist who is a young millennial. He's got long, flowing, beautiful hair.
Beautiful. I have to ask him what products he used.
How do you do this? He happens to be gay, but he is pouring himself into action. And I think that's amazing. He is going to be joining us at 2:10. So stick around to hear about that, because he's going back to Baltimore. He got a lot of flack for what he was doing. And he's like, seriously, you're going to come at me for this? I'm going to go back to Baltimore and I'm going to do it again, which is just wonderful. So stick around. We're going to talk to Scott Pressler at 2:10. We can do some phone calls when we return. 314-241-9797. Mark Cox as well, coming up in about 20 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.